Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, my sisters. Bless y'all. It's Sister Ashley for another show tonight, sister to sister. Bless y'all. I'm here in Tennessee. My co-host is in Georgia. Thank you so much for your time. Bless you in the beloved name of Jesus Christ. He is the reason we live, move, and breathe. He is the reason we know one another. And greetings to anyone new. Thank you for your time. It's very, very priceless. Time is precious. So let's jump to Sister Jennifer. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all. And bless you, Sister Ashley. Thank you for having me on tonight. And welcome to you all, Daughters of Zion, for another episode of Sister to Sister. It is an honor for me to be here tonight with you all, and it's an honor to have you all tuned in with us. We thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule so that you can just be here to sit with us and to be able to learn together. I pray that everybody can hear me. I have my chat pulled up, and it looks like I'm getting 10s for you and for myself, Sister Ashley, so we're ready to move on.
Hallelujah. I also have my chat up. So bless y'all again and again. Thank you. Great is your faithfulness, Praise Land. Great is your faithfulness, Northern Tribes. Thank you for always being here every night. Thank you so, so much for the calendar. Get it if you haven't got it. HolydaysCalendar.com. So let's do our acknowledgments. Let's start with you, Sister Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for his mercy, for his loving commitment, and for his truth that preserves me in the midst of a world where we're just continually surrounded by such evil. You know, he protects us and he delivers us from all of this evil that we see. He doesn't allow it to come near us. And I'm so thankful to him for having his thoughts on me and for being mindful of me. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, a man who walks in true honor and righteousness and integrity because of his relationship with the Most High Yah. You know, 10 years ago, we both said, I will, and we entered into a covenant. And I can honestly say that, you know, aside from my covenant and my commitment to Yah, that was the best decision that I've ever made. I've grown so much and I've learned so much. And because of his leading and his guiding, I have matured so much as well. And finally, to the man of Yah, Pastor Dow, our shepherd, for his steadfast example. You know, and like my sister Diane said last night in her Berean moment, Pastor is a shepherd who has always been unwavering, you know, regardless of the truth being presented and regardless of how it's received. He never wavers. And without his unwavering commitment, you know, I wouldn't be free today. We would not be free today. I know of no one else who is doing or who has done what our shepherd is doing. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and to your entire family. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I, too, want to acknowledge our Creator. Wow, I'm in awe at the Father's work continually. I acknowledge his commitment also to me and to his people, Israel, for continually gathering you, me, each of us to one another just to give us an opportunity to see him, to worship him, and to know him. He's unwavering. His protection from evil, as you said, Sister Jennifer, is so priceless, especially when you become when you are older, when you become a mother and you see the value of that protection. I'm very thankful for the hedge that he has around us as his people. Without him, I would not have that hedge. And I'm thankful for him having his ear towards the earth to hear us, all of us, in the small things, in the direction that he gives us and the guiding that he gives each of us that we wouldn't do for ourselves. We wouldn't make those choices ourselves, those painful choices even, or those painful commitments to make great change. I'm thankful for his fear. And I, of course, must acknowledge my headmaster, Deacon Bell. Great is thy faithfulness, sir. I'm stronger because of his strength. I am who I am because of him and Yah in him. He walks in great meekness, and he walks in delight of the law. He's never lied to me. He's never misdirected me. He's never picked me or his family above his Creator ever. And his obedience to the Father is very, very evident in every way. So just an honor to watch him and his love over me as Yeshua over the body. So welcome back to our beloved and precious pastor. We love you. We love you greatly. Never in this life. I return my appreciation and my gratefulness for all that you've given me and my family, for all your direction, and honestly, for a ticket to the kingdom. You know, it's like pastors co-signing every ticket to the kingdom that we have. So never in this lifetime could thank him enough for the home that we have, the land and the protection that we have, and just his love for the Father that allows the angel of the Most High Yah to encamp around each of us. So I'm thankful for each of you that I know personally, that I even know from a distance. Thank you to everyone who's listening tonight in the wee hours of the mornings, as some of you are. Great is your faithfulness. So thank you so, so, so much, everyone. Let's go ahead and announce the glorious yet saddening and disheartening news. This is Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. We just wanted to inform you all that our precious mother, Mother Beasley, has left this earth and she's gone to be with the Most High Yah. I just want to say what an honor and a privilege it was for me to be able to meet a true mother in Israel, and that her example will never, ever be forgotten. You know, her example of determination and her strength and her love, just in everything that she did, was just an honor for me to be able to witness. And, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, we don't live life treating people in a way where you'll have regrets when they leave this earth. And so I'm so thankful for this ministry who has taught us how to truly honor our elders, you know, how to truly love our elders so that we have no regrets and we can truly rejoice in the homegoing of our mother, Mother Beasley. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Special thanks to everyone who participated in a recent video that we compiled together. Thank you to Sister Ashley in Indiana who compiled our videos together to send her our greetings. I'd like to just openly say it over the show that I don't know if she heard it before she left, but I do know Ashley, being led by the Holy Spirit, had given us a date to get our videos in. Jermaine had wanted us to, you know, wanted Mother to hear us or to see our voice or hear our voices or see us. And so we compiled. We did. We sent our videos in. Ashley had picked a date, and it was literally her last day on earth. And she had gotten those videos together and sent it to him, I would say, hours before she passed. So I pray that she hears it. But just in case you were wondering and you were a part of that video, I do not know if she heard it or if he was able to get it to her, because I don't know what those final hours were like. She'll be missed greatly. If you remember, for many, many years, she named all of our Straightway Help Meets titles, our show. She was always telling us, let's see, hallelujah. Ashley says she heard it. Brother Jermaine played it for her. That's wonderful. So, yeah, she named all of our shows. She was... she would call in every week and send her love to our shepherd. She would say, please send him my truckload of love. And she was sending it to all of us, but she had memorized our number at times when she would be down and out, unable to walk. At one time, she had even fallen and broken her hip. She was still able to remember our phone number and call us every Wednesday, every fourth day. So, yes, she'll be loved and missed just as every Israelite who leaves and departs this earth to be with our Father. But I know that we're not even a thought on her mind right now as she rejoices with the King and receives a worthy crown. Very blessed to know her. She'll be missed at every feast, and thank you to everyone who honored her, especially our beloved Jermaine, who has been a great example of how you can love and honor the aged, and he shall wear a crown for that as well. Someone had asked, and I get the question a little bit about Patreon for the Help Meets. We do not have a Patreon. I have no reason or vision to have one. There's no, you know, all we mainly keep up with this show. We have, of course, you see the new clips coming out of our patriarchs, our leaders, our elders, the people that are, you know, the fathers here. So you'll see that, you'll hear the word, you'll have enough, I think, offered through YouTube, but people were asking, and they'll type it in the comments, trying to find us on Patreon. You'll find our shepherd, our pastor on Patreon. You'll also find Pastor Corey, but not us, not us. So you can stop looking. We have Straightway Airs, but that's vimeo.com/Straightway Airs. You can see our children there. So no Patreon, just putting it out there. As I said, holydayscalendar.com, check it out. We will inform you if the supplies run out, and they will, or run low, and they will, so get them. And if you want to see, I really like Pastor's video, he showed the calendar, which is awesome, because if you want to see the product before you get it, there's your proof. He did a video of that calendar today. We have 9 weeks until Passover, so I hope you're preparing spiritually, and our teacher, Eric Robinson, you can find him on YouTube, has two videos. They were from 2019. One was preparing for Passover spiritually 2019, and one was Passover is coming. If you know that you know you're coming, especially if you know that you've been here before and you're allowed to come back and you're a part of us and you're with us, let us know your dates as soon as you can. It helps us logistically. We are already taking phone calls. Not many have called, and I realize that 9 weeks out, it might be difficult for some of you who are, you know, you have jobs and it needs to get a little closer for you. But consider us. Don't let it get too close. And pay attention to any videos Pastor may give of deadlines. He will often give a cutoff or a deadline date. We're nowhere near it now, just throwing that out there. So check out Teacher Eric, because if you want to celebrate Passover where you are, or it's your first time coming here and celebrating, those videos are going to help you out. One of the comments that he had in the bottom of his description on the video was, do not let the spirit of fear keep you from Yah's feast. So that's actually, if I can say, an epidemic. But it can happen. Do not let the spirit of fear keep you from Yah's feast. So he talks about that in preparing for Passover spiritually 2019. So thanks to our teacher, Eric, and bless him and his wife, his family, everyone who supports us. Thank you. Be on the lookout for the products video, all the products that are supplied by my beloved sisters and friends here in the ministry, no matter where they're from, communities, etc. I try not to leave anyone out. I did the video today, and Chef Sister Sakina will be posting it up. It's basically just for a quick reference of links, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or .com, etc., whatever link that you can find these sisters on that we support, purchase, share, buy from, you're going to find it on that video. So that's what it was about, me and Jordan did today. Don't forget straightwaytruth.com if you've never been there. We got newsletters, we got prayers, renunciation prayers, or prayers over your body and mind, things that can really set you free. So don't overlook that. I know it's easier to go to YouTube or to watch a video and be entertained by that video than it is to actually go and read something. So don't forget about straightwaytruth.com. Lots of homework, lots of reading and newsletters, and an awesome picture of us as a people right there on front. So you will also find Straightway Kansas City, Straightway South Carolina, Straightway Texas, Straightway Kentucky East. You'll find all those on YouTube as well. If you're following us, you'll see some of our, or even pastors, subscriptions and familiar, like related channels off the side. So pay attention to those. Those are really good choices to follow. I think that's it. We got to say KGB 94 TV with the Berean Moment. We must. So we send our prayers. And, we even pray in unity for our beloved John Paul, and his great healing that's coming forth. And we also pray in great unity against anyone who has risen up against us. So, Eileen, I expect to hear something in the future. So, that's it. Hallelujah. Jennifer, any announcements? Anything I missed? I think I said more announcements this time than I have in a while. What you got?
Mm-hmm. Sister Ashley, I don't have an announcement. I just wanted to say that, with everything that you've given us, all the announcements, all the information, I just wanted to let the sisters know to really stay tuned to YouTube and to the website, because there's so much information on those channels, and you can get a lot of questions answered if you would just follow the things that are being put out on YouTube and follow the information that is being put on the website. There's a lot of work that goes into putting together the website and keeping it updated, so make sure that you check there first. There's newsletters on there. If you've just now come into the ministry, or whether you've been in the ministry for a while, there's always something on there that can edify you, something that you can learn. And on YouTube, you know, with the teachers that we have, and the elders and our pastors, there's so much information on there. So a lot of your questions can be answered. Just make sure you stay updated with the videos. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I want to briefly speak about a group that we have on a Marco Polo, which is a Straightway Sisters group. This is to edify and benefit anyone who is scattered abroad or scattered in different states that is interested in fellowship, seeing one another, getting used to one another, knowing one another. What the pattern actually usually is, everybody gets excited, everybody wants to join, and then they realize they don't love the Father like they thought they did, or they'll get intimidated by the righteousness of the videos of the sisters that are faithful, and they'll fall off. So I just wanted to announce openly that some of you who have separated yourself from the groups obviously are in some kind of self-righteous belief that you don't need one another, and that's far from the truth, especially if you live alone. You should be seeking to be a part of that group. Now, what will happen is someone will believe that they don't want to be on that group anymore, and then they'll say it to another person and another sister and another sister, and then they'll say, oh, there's nothing going on. They're just sharing recipes, you know, I don't really, ain't nothing going on there. You have no idea how it blesses those who are scattered that love the Father, that have no examples of righteousness, that have no women around them that cover their heads, that refuse the world, that submit to their husbands. But you in your self-righteousness, and there's more than, I don't even have anyone in my mind. I just knew I needed to say this. It's amazing how you can separate and believe yourself to not have a need when you are void of the Spirit, void of righteousness, and you have nothing to offer. It's very sad how self-deceptive we are, the hypocrites we are, to be on fire one moment and not be interested the next. And if I say it to the group, those who are righteous would be convicted, but you wouldn't watch the video. So don't think for a moment that we won't go through that entire group and discard half the names if we need to because of your pattern of unfaithfulness. And if you forsake fellowship one to another, you go out from us because you are not of us. And you have no enduring substance. I have never in my history of knowing Yah forsaken the man of Yah, my husband, my family, my duties, my responsibilities, or the people, my sisters. Never once. And you, through just one computer app commitment, can't keep it. And believe you don't need it. Sister Jennifer?
It's Sister Ashley, and there's limited space available there. So, you know, if you don't want to be on Marco Polo, just send us an email on straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, and we will remove you so that we can make space for those who desire to be on. That's all I have.
Hallelujah. It's perfect. And, you know, we're such a tight-knit family. Anytime someone leaves, there's a pattern. Not just the group, but a pattern of, you know, a sister or a woman leaving the group or leaving the ministry. It's always, I hope there's nothing bad said about this. I hope it don't get brought up. I hope there's no gossip or slander. I hope that you can see the integrity that I have when I'm, you know, or those sisters are, you know, you're just pushy. It's like everybody needs to be on there or everybody needs to love it. It ain't for me, so I don't want it, right? So I understand the common pattern of how spirits will communicate to the mind, that because we are such a tight-knit family, and we believe the same, walk the same, have the same spirit, that your contrariness is going to agree with every contrary mind that's ever left. You believe that if we bring it up, I've had people tell me, like, please don't say it on the show. Please don't say that on the show. Like, please don't talk about that. Well, you know, this was done or whatever, but I'm sorry, please don't. Do you believe my character to be so led by the flesh that I would talk about the flesh on the show? There's so many things that are withheld from the show because it's not necessary. If it be necessary that we bring it up, believe me, the Father will bring it to our attention and our minds and our spirits. We don't speak loosely. We speak with great fear. So thoughts are meditated and self-controlled. So if I bring up the fact that someone leaving, separating, not fellowshipping, needs to be talked about, then it needs to be talked about. And not because any personal attack upon that sister or anyone. And that's the same accusation that our shepherd has when he will call out a particular brother or nature or sin of someone. It's to warn the people. But the person who is so offended doesn't understand a spiritual walk. because they are themselves in the flesh. So when you're in the flesh, you make yourself equal amongst one another, and you believe that discussing it would be in the flesh. You know, that, oh, that's gossip, that's slander, that you're bringing it up. No, that's far from the truth. All right, so I think we've said enough on that. Let's see. I had a thought this week, and I thought, you know, I remember coming early into the faith, and for my first time, I want to say my first time in my life, I had a finger pointed at Yah, you know, for the first time in my life. Now, when I lived, what you want to call free from Yah, I never really thought about it. Maybe I thought about him when there was tragedies or traumas or things that happened to my life. But for some reason, it's an epidemic to have your finger pointed at Yah when things happen. You know, when you come around and you go, why is this happening, Yah? And why would you do this to me? And why would you put me through this? And all the questions, you know. But in actuality, Satan is ruling the entire time. He's accusing Yah. He's dividing your marriage. He's dividing your friendships or relationships. He's involved, and no one has their finger at him. You know, no one says, Satan has his eye on me. And he does. He really does. As pastors taught us, a very spiritual war is happening. Demons know you. They're in you. They're around you. So everything is not Yah. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You know, it's like when you come to the faith, you want to question everything. And pastor always says, you know, when you were in Christianity, you never questioned a thing. And that is the moment when you needed to be questioning, you know, the lies that you were taught. But when you come this way, you're so skeptical of the truth. And it's the same way in life. You know, we're always wanting to put the blame on the Most High Yah. And a lot of us don't really discern our speech when we're going to the Father. You know, oh, why me, Father? Why did you do this to me? Or why did you choose this for me? Or, you know, whatever it is. And it really is a blaming him. And so we can't go to him like that. We have to really watch our hearts, you know, the meditations of our hearts, because that's what's going to lead to actions that are going to separate us from him. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Very good point. So I had a question asked to me that I believe we can do an entire show on, and that's what tonight's about. The question was, it was around 2 or 3 weeks ago in a Shabbat message that Pastor had mentioned that man is a mediator between woman and Christ, or woman and Yah, and that you can't go past your husband. Now, we're talking to a lot of women, even young women listen to this show in their 20s or teens that aren't married, as well as widows. Many different minds are listening. So the question sounds like it would cater only to a married woman, but I hope that you'll all be able to get a lot out of this. So we're just going to discuss this question. What does it mean that a woman cannot go past her husband? What does that entail? What is that like? You know, it kind of, the first thing that's going to happen when you don't know Yah is you're going to hear it with rejection. This huge gap of rejection, shame, sin, iniquity that separates you and your Creator is easily felt and sensed before the feeling of the anointing, before the feeling of the Holy Spirit, before the power of his word. You understand? So what you want to do is close that gap. So you come in with a big gap because you don't know him, and maybe you don't know how to dress, and you don't know how to act, and you don't know how to listen properly without feelings and emotions, etc. But as you grow, you begin to really close the gap that you created, or you and your ancestors through sin and iniquity created. So he shows you how to close the gap, and by closing that gap between you and your Creator, you're actually you're growing with growing pains. You know, you're growing with growing pains because it's not him, our Father, on bended knee asking you to marry him. It's him giving you guidelines of things that you have to do, you have to change in order to get closer to him. And so the first thing that can happen if you hear pastors speak about a man being a mediator between you and Christ or you and the Father is it can make that gap feel even greater. Now, Pastor didn't do that. He didn't say that gap is greater, if I'm making sense. You're feeling that it's greater. Hope that makes sense. Help me out, Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, it really is an order that has been created by the Most High Yah. It's a hierarchy that He created. And if you're going based on emotion, you know, the emotion of a woman, then you're going to, quote unquote, feel inadequate. You're going to feel as if you don't matter. You're going to feel rejected. And feelings is what will cause you to be led astray. You know, you have to really go based on facts. So the fact is that it's an order, it's a hierarchy that was created by Yah. It was given by Yah, and there's protection in that order that He created. So you can't go based on feelings, because if you do, then like Sister Ashley said, you're going to continue to think on the lines of rejection, and that will carry you away. Sister Ashley?
All right, so we have Sister Chandra. I want to pull you up just to even see if you intentionally press 1. And I'm saying it's Chandra. Look, I don't know her number. Let me just scratch that. It's a Georgia number, and if it's Georgia House or anybody near them, I'm going there. That's what I mean. Let's see who it is. Area code 706, if you intentionally press 1, you're live on the show. Sister to sister, bless you. Shalom. All right. Hanging up. Just in case, hey, you never know. We got an elder there. We got sisters there. We got community members there. Somebody might have something to say, so I didn't want to avoid that call. I'll probably open the call later on tonight. But let's start with this thought, okay? So we're talking about the gap between you and the Father that you can close. You can close, right? Because He's not telling you there's a gap, right? He's loving you with an eternal love, and by loving kindness have I drawn thee. So he's not created that gap. You just feel it, right? So when you come to this way and a lot of truth is given to you, especially in role relationship, like the man has a role and the woman has a role, etc., and that is so new to hear, and especially new for you to manifest or function in, very new, and you don't have examples around you. And I mean living around you, because obviously straightway and our communities are examples. I wanted to start somewhere different, which is the book of Enoch. And I have the Ethiopic version. I tried to buy, just like many of you, anything that Pastor has referenced in the past that he has read, studied from, or showed. So if you do, in fact, believe that this was an inspired book, and I know we know that many books could have been tainted or changed, etc., but a lot of what is offered is in line with the Word, and really what it produces is a good fear of Yah when you read it anyway. So you at least get that. So the book of Enoch, chapter 73, okay? Let me go to, there'll be 73, there'll be 74, and some in the 40s, if you're going to read it later. I wanted to start, I guess, first in the beginning, okay? And we've all read this account, Genesis 1:1, right? I used to sit down and go, I'm going to read the Bible from front to back. I was a Christian athlete. Fellowship of Christian Athletes really promoted reading the Bible. I never made it past, like, Genesis 3 or 4 without falling asleep every night. And so I was like, chapter 1, I've read chapter 1 100 times because I was determined I'm going to read this entire book. I never made it out of Genesis. Like, what in the world? So we all know, let there be light, right? Let there be light. In the dome of the sky. So this is the very, very beginning of creation. And obviously it occurred because we can look up and see the evidence that there's reality. This is real, okay? Y'all stick with me for a moment because it's going to make sense in the end. So the Father said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky, and those lights are going to mark events, and they're going to mark seasons, and they're going to mark days, and they're going to mark years. So He created something new, and He said these will be lights to shine on earth, and that's what happened. So when I say He created something new, He created something with a function, okay? So this is not a created being with a soul breathed into life yet, but this is just a created object for a function, a tool. So God had made the stars, it says, and it says he makes the two great lights. So we have the larger light that rules by day, the sun. And we got the smaller light that rules by night, the moon. That's not new to any of us, right? Y'all saw how it was good. So over in the book of Enoch, it says that Enoch was actually shown the path and the course of the moon and the sun. Now imagine, this is just a righteous man that has such a connection with the Father that he's shown many spiritual things by angels, okay? And it actually calls it the law of the luminaries, okay? So the luminaries, what you see every night and every day as you look up in the sky, has a law that it follows. So the first aspect of the law that he covered in chapter, 72, 73, is the sun rises in the eastern portals. I'm not going to bore y'all with this, but just follow me, because what I want you to correlate in your mind is the exact direction that this creation was given. So the sun rises in the east and it sets in the western portals of heaven, always. It's never done anything else since creation. The sun, called the great luminary, was filled with heating fire. It talks about how it ascends on a chariot and the wind drives it. And it even breaks down how days become longer and nights become shorter, which we know happens, but none of us have ever really put into words or study how that happens. But it describes in great detail every portal or direction that the sun follows to keep its extreme obedience to the law of the luminary. So every day you're going to see it rise. Every day you're going to see it set. And it even talks about its divided orbits, because it's going to set in a particular place so that you have a long or short day. Okay, so it talks about that it's sevenfold brighter than the moon, but yet they're equal in size. So let's go to another creation. Let's go to the moon, because they're not the same, correct? You have the sun and the moon, and they are different. Man and woman, different. You know, zebra, hippo, different, yet all spoken into creation. So the moon, Enoch says, I saw another law. That's what he said. I saw another law dealing with the luminary called the moon. So the light that was given to her, it was a definite measure. She could not go past the definite measure that she was given. The moon cannot be brighter than it's ever been, neither the sun. There's laws. Just like the water cannot go past a certain place on the sand. There's a limit. So with the moon, she has her rising, she has her setting, and it changes every month. And it goes into great detail about the phases and the direction and the circumference and all the things that honestly you'd have to really be locked into to even grasp and understand. Almost for me, I'd have to draw a chart, because it's so detailed. And it talks about what it does for 30 days, because she has a very precise monthly revolving. Now the sun never changes what it was created to do, neither does the moon. It talks about the sun and the stars. It even uses words like precisely and exactly, so that they don't advance or delay their position by a single moment into eternity. So because eternity, or at least what we know of life on Earth, is measured, the sun, the moon, the stars, it cannot advance or delay its position by a single moment, because it would change the entire course of the measured time of creation, right? And it says that all these luminaries, by this law, complete their years with perfect justice, with perfect balance. So I hope I haven't bored you, because I'm moving on to us very soon. Of course, it talks about the wind, how it's divided to blow, how it's commanded to blow, the directions, the dew, the clouds, the frost, the snow, the rain, everything basically that comes from the portals of heaven, even down to locust and drought, lightning, thunder, etc. So much comes from the atmosphere, and it's all bound within the law of the luminaries. Now, yes, we know that modern technology can alter these things, but even that was foreknown. And that's not what he's talking about in the book. So that's created, right? Wisdom also. Wisdom is mentioned. I like wisdom. Chapter 42, 43, 48. I made those notes. You can read a little bit about wisdom in Enoch. Because it says, in him dwells the spirit of wisdom. In who? Our Father. So in him dwells that spirit. And that spirit is commanded to give insight. That spirit is commanded to give understanding. And the word says that the wisdom of Yah has revealed itself to the holy and righteous on earth. So that means she's functioning exactly how she's supposed to be functioning, because she was commanded from the beginning to reveal herself to holy and righteous believers of the truth. And it even solidifies it in chapter 42, talking about how wisdom found no place to dwell. Y'all have heard me say this before. This just keeps me in awe, honestly. There was no place for wisdom to dwell. She had no home. Can y'all go with me? Figure this one out. So a place was assigned to her in heaven. And what happened was she goes forth to dwell amongst all of us. It says the children of men. So she goes forth to dwell amongst the children of men, wisdom, because we need it, right? But what happens? She finds no dwelling. She returns to her place. And she takes her seat amongst the angels, which is why we have to call upon wisdom. Call upon our Father for wisdom, because wisdom dwells in him. Okay, so just speaking about creation and obedience, it says that there were obedient stars and that he called on them by their names and they listened. And even how they produce light and how their widths and how big they are, large they are, et cetera, was all commanded by him. And the amazing thing was that it says how they kept faith with each other, because they listened and believed his voice and followed his voice. That's pretty powerful, right? Here's another creation, unrighteousness. He's not the father of it, but it exists. And do you know that unrighteousness, in the book of Enoch anyway, went forth from what's called her chambers? And when it went forth from her chambers, she found who she didn't even look for. See the difference in what wisdom did when she couldn't find no home and she had to abide among the angels? Unrighteousness didn't even have to look. So she found them and she dwelt among them as rain is in a desert, as dew on thirsty ground. That's unrighteousness. So she too is doing what she was created to do. All right, so all that's over. So now we go to Ephesians. And we go to Ephesians 5. And we go to what is new for a lot of functioning women, that you should submit to your husband as if he is the Lord, that a husband is the head of his wife. Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. So you submit yourself to your husband in everything like the church submits to Christ. That's why I brought up the obedience of creation. Because it doesn't get off course. It truly knows its calling, if you want to say. And it talks about Christ's love in the church, Ephesians 5, and how he gave himself for her. And I've heard from bitter women before how Christ responded and acted towards the church and how their husband should be for them and towards them, how he should be acting, how he should be respecting them, etc. But just off top, Sister Jennifer, because I'm done with my intro spiel, really introducing our function here, just share your thoughts. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, I think about how everything has a role. Everything was created by God, and it has a role, and they have specific ways to how each thing that was created is to fulfill their role. And you don't see the moon complaining that, you know, it's just, you know, I don't want to be the moon anymore. you know, it just doesn't happen. It does what it's supposed to do because that's what it was created to do. And so as just as a woman, you know, she can have this, carry this bitterness about her because she doesn't want to submit. She doesn't want to be in her role as the weaker vessel, as the wife. And so a lot of times when you see that, a woman that is in that position can covet the husband's role. She can covet the, she wants control. You know, a woman who is used to having control doesn't want to give up that control. She will covet her husband's role. She will become bitter. She will become very picky about, you know, his leading. She'll become very unsupportive about his leading, you know, and so that's where the bitterness comes from a lot of times, just a lack of trust and just picking out his weaknesses and becoming bitter because he is the one in authority over her and she does not want to submit. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So because we've been given the will or the mind to think and we've been surrounded by other nations, totally misunderstanding our creative role, we're out of place. We're greatly out of place. And then strangely, we believe that we are special, that he hears us, that what we do is important, that we're not like other created women before us. So your mind can really get into a haughty place. But every intention of the Father's law is to keep things perfect, you know, to truly keep things perfect. And you can't help but to go to Numbers 30. We'll talk about it just for a moment to try to help you understand, I guess, understanding the commitment that you have to the Father and to the man in front of you or given to you. That's really the talk tonight, is that commitment and that love and that service that you have for that man is like unto Yah. So you know that we use the word cover a lot because it's a perfect descriptive concrete term for what happens to a woman when she is a daughter within our faith. For example, a daughter is given direction and she's given she gains great respect for her father in this faith. If she doesn't have a father, Yah will even put someone, because we are in the, let me not speed up too fast, okay? Yes, we're in the restoration. Yes, every daughter's father is not in the faith, in the way, or even in understanding. So a lot of women don't have confidence in this first stage or base level of covering. So whether you have or don't have a father, you can still yet be guided by the fathers in our ministry. There can still be, of course, our shepherds that lead you or direct you, even through videos, just as he had given a video today speaking about human trafficking, but at the same time giving direction to young women not to go out alone. This is an example of covering you, because if you abide in that law, then you will be safe and protected. So for Numbers 30, explains how a man can vouch for, or devoid, I should say, take away a vow, okay? So I don't want to lose you, because who's making vows today, honestly? Who even understands what a vow is? That's how far we've gone. Who's making a vow to the Father and seeing if it'll stick, or keeping your vow, or having your husband take it away, you know? So there's a misunderstanding there. So what happens is a father should be responsible for the condition of his daughter. And in our ministry, in our faith, in our way, that is the case, that the fathers are responsible for the condition of the daughters if she is raised up in this way. Now, if you are adopted in, of course, there's going to be maybe a small period of time of mistrust, or a period of time where you're going to gain great trust for a man that might be over you or a shepherd, etc. But the daughter is going to transfer her respect that she has for her father to her husband. And that's where a lot of us got lost, because either we didn't have a father or we didn't have respect for our father. And so when we were or became a wife, there was no respect transferred. But initially, intentionally, a woman who is covered from cradle to grave, she would have carried this respect over. Now we're in this, within this ministry, we're getting to see it. We're getting to see the respect of young women, virgin women, being carried over from their father or the man in their life that is making a decision for them or supporting their union with a husband, and then she carries that respect over. That's base first level of coverage, Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, you brought up a really good point when you talked about trust, mistrust or gaining trust. So many women come from a past of abuse. Some were mistreated, you know, whatever it may be. And then you come this way, you come into the faith, and you have to learn how to trust again. And this is where deliverance comes in. This is why it's so important to have your own relationship with the Most High Yah. This is why it's so important to have His Holy Spirit, because His Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you, and you're going to get a witness in you that will tell you that, okay, this is a man of Yah. This is one that you can trust. But if you're coming this way and you haven't dealt with the things that have happened to you in the past, then you're going to carry that same skepticism that you would hold against anybody else in the world. You know, you're going to blame the things that have happened to you on the men that are here to actually protect you. And so if you don't just really get a hold of the things that have happened and learn what it means to gain trust, learn how to put aside the abuse, you know, the ways that you were mistreated, whatever has happened, if you don't know how to deal with those things, then you're not going to learn how to move forward in gaining trust. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. Well said. So, so you go from a daughter stage to potentially and hopefully a married woman, continuing to be covered in a sense of, you know, protection because you are weaker. A lot of women don't like to admit that they need nurturing, just as a child needs it. Just as you give your child nurture, you also need it or desire it from your covering. So Numbers gives instruction to, I can say the married woman, but the man as well, that every vow, every binding oath that your husband may establish it or make it void. So every vow that you say, or every binding oath that you say, your husband may establish it or make it void. That's proof number one that Pastor is speaking truth. Yes, we can't go past him. Now, does that mean he's going to hear everything? No, but what happens is you speak an idea or a desire that you have, or a reason for prayer, a reason for doing what you're doing, a reason for fasting, deliverance that you need, etc. These things happen in our faith. And the situation takes effect, so it starts to be progressive, right? So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to fast for this, and I need deliverance for this, and it takes effect, right? It starts to be progressive because you put this into action. You said this. So its course is charted. It's going forward. So you have thoughts, you have speech, you have behavior. Thoughts, speech, behavior. Okay? But you have a boundary of marriage. The boundary of marriage says you're not thinking right, you're not speaking right, you're not behaving right. So that's what comes from a strong man. So the man, he sees, he hears, he observes that this is happening. And he either establishes his agreement with the vow or not, or he intercedes or not, or he doesn't allow your thought to continue. I'm trying to explain our faith and our marriages to you. So he doesn't allow you to continue in a way that is going to be destructive or wrong. So no, you're not going to fast for 21 days because you're just starving yourself when you haven't gotten your heart right, he might say. Your words don't stand. Now, could you still rebel? Do it anyway? Sure, American woman. Yes. Could he be blinded, clueless, bitter, passive, or he don't care about his spiritual responsibilities? Yes, yes, and yes. But that's not the intention of the marriage union. Interestingly, in verse, I think it's 8, it's Numbers 30, verse 8, it says the Lord will forgive her. That's pretty crucial, right? Critical, I can say. We need the Father to forgive us. So this is because of, you know, your rebellion or the lack of operating in this unity is because of the mental state of Israel. It's not because Yah's law is anything that you may label it, any adjective you may give it. There is safety in the function of this great unity, and there's safety in the function of these boundaries that are laid before us. But truly, because you've never functioned in it, that is why you don't understand it. So there's a humility in confessing that, like, oh, I don't understand Numbers 30 because I obviously am not living it. You know, I obviously don't understand my role yet. You can, you will, but it doesn't make his word void. Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, you brought up how a man will discern your thoughts and your speech and your behavior. And we really need to get to the point, daughters of Zion, that we learn how to discern our thoughts and our speech and our behavior. Because that's the only way that you're going to be able to mature. You know, think about things before you allow them to roll off of your mouth. You know, think about the meditations that are in your heart. Are they acceptable to the Most High Yah or not? So that when you do go and you're asking if you can fast, you know, then the heart is already acceptable. He can say yes. You're not just starving yourself. But a man is going to know, you know, a true righteous man is going to know if your behavior is acceptable, if your thoughts are acceptable, if they're pleasing to Yah. So you have to get to the point of learning how to discern yourself. How to know if your intent is pure or if it's not. You have to get to the point of learning how to reprove yourself. And without his spirit, you're not going to get there. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. So if you want to begin to build your unity and you want to submit to this way, function as a woman under your head, one, if you want to say tip, I can give you is involve him in your decisions that you would usually independently make. It's not, may I take a shower or may I eat or may I wash clothes, like some believe us to be so dumbly bound by. It's may I fast or what does this verse mean, etc. This is when you're building a marriage covenant, by the way, of someone that, too, is striving for the Father's righteousness. I understand we have literally every scenario of marriage from divorcing currently to despising one another to despising Yah and not dwelling peaceably to we have so many scenarios because we are scattered and Yah's ways are not just to everyone. But if you're trying to build your house and build a relationship, consider asking him things that otherwise you would always have done on your own. This is a wise thing to do because now it's putting in you in a place where you have to listen to his explanation, to his answer about the verse or whatever you, or just his input and his guidance. That you actually, in your mind, you have another way. You would have probably done it a different way. You would have gone somewhere else that day, etc. But now you've submitted yourself to what he says, and it's given you a perfect opportunity to lie under his headship. If you continue to function independently and not, you know, try to feed this bond, then who's going to do it? Because he's going to see that you don't need him, which is going to feed any bitterness that he may be battling because you've proven you don't need him. Jennifer?
And, you know, Sister Ashley, we have to come out of the passive listening. You know, it's so common for women to listen passively, to make it seem as if you're interested in knowing, you know, if you can have permission to fast or if you can have permission for, you know, whatever, you know, asking his input. And you're asking and you're making it seem as if you're humble. You're making it seem as if you truly do want the guidance. But then you go and do the opposite. And that is what, you know, the fruit of passive listening is. When you approach him to make it seem as if you're on the right path, trying to deceive him, And he's thinking that, okay, she's operating in humility. You know, you've got the humble look on your face, but your heart is haughty. And so when you go away, you end up doing the exact opposite of what he has told you, the wisdom that he's given you. You don't even follow it. Sister Ashley?
Yes, which is doing your own will, your own way, and the way you want it. So when unity is established between you and trust is really there, then your questions are going to be fewer. It's not going to be, can I, may I, because you have tenure or trust or just spiritual growth, etc. But if you're trying to start a very base, I mean, we are at the foundation of this thing. You're trying to really mend everything that you allowed Satan to tear down, then ask questions. Let him into your life and your heart. If he's an infidel, your questions are fewer. That's pretty obvious. If he's not a believer or a follower, why are you going to, what does this verse mean? You know, can I fast? He's an infidel. He's not a believer. So you have to use wisdom. You have to apply what we say only to your situation. We're not the know-all, be-all. We're just simply a tool to help you think and meditate so the Father can give you your answers. So asking permission to go somewhere or, you know, my husband, for example, he will say, do not call me. This was early on in our marriage. Don't call me at Walmart asking me something stupid. I'm working. I don't want to hear it. You want to, hey, can I go, can I ride to, you know, can I ride to town with such and such? We're going to go here, 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 and we're going to be back home. He said, take the risk, take the gun, and take your ass home. I'll see you when I get home. And so, but another man might say, hey, I need to know, you know, if you're going to leave, I need to know. Because I need to know what time you're coming back, et cetera. So you have to know your husband, you know. So if I come home and I spend all his money, we got an issue, right? But if I come home, when I know, if I know his mind, I know when to be home. I'm not coming in at dark. I'm not going to come in an hour after dinner at the latest, you know, because you know his mind. So you build this trust relationship where you know what you need to ask, and then you know what you don't need to ask. And that's how our marriages function. But when each woman is seeking to please her husband, you're going to have differences in how we function as far as circumstances, but you're still going to have one mind. And then as women, we're very considerate that this is this man's wife. I'm not going to give counsel or intermingle myself in their relationship at all. And I'm definitely not going to judge or overstep my bounds with his children. Right? Because they're possessions of him. I don't know. What else can you say on that, Jennifer?
I wanted to say, and as a wife, if you've taken time to really get to know him, you'll know the things that will strengthen him, that will help him. You know, you're supposed to be his helpmeet. So you'll know the things that are supposed to help him or the things that are going to hinder him. You know, you may be really good as far as administration is concerned. You know, you may have skills when it comes to making sure the bills are paid or making sure all the paperwork is kept up. Whatever it is, you know, make sure that you step in to help him with that. But if he doesn't want you touching the money, then leave the money alone. So everything is going to be different. So you have to get to know your head for who he is, and how you can help him, how you can be his helpmeet and not his hindrance. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. So if you still have the question, you know, I still don't get it. You know, how can I not go past my husband? Okay? If you still think that, you still ask that, you can consider Christ himself as a bride unto the Father or a son unto the Father. But in John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Okay, so even Jesus is in total surrender. I can of myself do nothing. That didn't mean that he couldn't go around. He still healed. He did the Father's work in his daily life. There wasn't constant, may I, can I. He is saying, I can of my own self do nothing. I do not seek my own will. I seek the will of the Father. So he had total surrender. And so if Jesus himself is saying, I do not seek my own will, then he's showing that there's a disagreement there somewhere. Specifically Luke 22:42, if you will, remove this from me, please. Remove this cup from me. Why? Because it's death. So Jesus has another hope that this would pass. But what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. So a marriage covenant is not a constant agreement, if you might say. I might want to go to Wendy's. He might want to go to Arby's. Where are we going? We're going to Arby's. Now, do we eat out? No, not really. It's so rare. I'm just giving that as an example because you're going to run into situations where you are submitting yourself continually and you're not looking to be this, how would I say it? You rest in ease as a submitted woman, knowing that you are going to do his will, rather than bite your nails to the quick, wondering why you're not. Why am I dealing with this thought that goes against him or this accusation that goes against him? I'm determined to submit myself. That's what I'm going to focus on. That's my end result. That's who I'm going to be, if that makes sense. So if Jesus himself can say, please remove this from me. This is really what I want, Father. Right? Nope. You can't go past who? You can't go past your head, Jesus. You can't go past Yah. So what happened? He still died. Jennifer?
No, Sister Ashley, I remember a while back, Pastor, talking about the relationship between husband and wife and the order that Yah has placed on that relationship. And I remember him telling the women, you know, women, he said, you better pray hard for your head, you know, because he is the leader of the home, and you want to make sure that he is truly being led properly. And he said, you better pray hard. You know, it's so easy for women to just kind of say, oh, well, he's in charge, so whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. They don't consider the fact that, you know, men have struggles too, that, you know, Yah is dealing with them as well, and that they need to be strengthened as well through prayer. And so we have to really keep them lifted, that the Father would strengthen them and that they would truly be led by the Most High Yah. And that was a very sobering statement that Pastor made, because it really just puts you back in focus. If you really have a relationship with the Father, that we have to keep our men lifted. We truly do. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So Numbers 30, verse 9 says that every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced. Now, consider those two women, okay? You have a widow and you have the woman that is divorced, so she doesn't have a natural covering. Okay, so she doesn't have a natural provider or protector. Now, within Israel, within our ministry, you do. But in the natural, in a home setting, in a family, she's not bound by a marriage covenant. So every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, they have bound their own souls. Y'all hear that? And the vow stands against her. So there's no man, if you want to say, as a mediator between her and what she's spoken. There's no one to say, nope, uh-uh, you ain't doing that, you ain't thinking that, you ain't speaking that, you ain't living that. That's not what you're going to do. So she's in a very careful, you know, cautious situation. All right, so just another proof text that there is someone in front of me. So there's order in everything. I consider even how, you know, if a woman had to even sacrifice an animal, she didn't do the work. She brought it to who? A man. So the man followed the rules and sacrificed it correctly. The order is all throughout the word. And then it was always a man. And Matthew 5:22, let's read it. But I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Here's the point. If you bring your gift to the altar and you remembered your brother that you had an ought against, then you need to leave your gift before the altar, go your way, first reconcile to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. People say, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, we're not taking gifts to altars anymore, so there's an automatic misunderstanding. But this is saying the rekindling of that relationship is important for your gift and your offering to be received, your sacrifice to be received. Your relationship on this earth between this man and you, or this sister and you, has to be rekindled before you can come and utter your prayers of repentance or forgiveness to the Father. He says, if you love me, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go back and get it right. Okay? So this brings up somewhat of a new topic, because we have to know them that labor amongst us, right? And the word also says, guard your heart from offense. So as we build relationships one with another and we're trying to get it right one with another, what does that feel like, right? Because we're led by feelings and we're expecting certain feelings. I'm expecting, especially if I'm a new sister or within the first 5 years, I'm expecting to have a great feeling towards every single sister. And if I don't have a great feeling towards them, something's wrong. Okay? So let's take away the feeling for a minute and let's get down to facts. We have to submit ourselves one to another, love one another, and guard our heart from offense. Let's say, as you're learning those who labor amongst you, that you've offended or been offended, or you've had situations where you've had to forgive or she's had to forgive, etc. What would the feeling be like when Jesus says forgive 70 times 7? It'd be pretty uncomfortable, right? So you don't meditate on the feelings between you and this person. Did you get it right? Did you go back? Did you say what you should have said? Are you manifesting love? Are you manifesting forgiveness? Rekindling what you messed up? Then don't worry about the feeling. Us being weaker vessels, easily led by feelings, we'll be so distracted by that feeling, you'll believe that it needs to go away. But wait a second, what if you have a repeat offender, if you want to say? What if you're a repeat offender? As you're learning someone, you've messed up over and over and over again. The word, know them that labor amongst you, means just as much as go get it right. Now I know what to say and what not to say. Now I know how to act and how not to act. There's nothing treacherous about that. As mothers always said, if we know those who labor amongst us, then we're going to talk accordingly. Paul said, I become all things to all men. You might hear me on the phone talking to somebody and think I'm totally lost it. I'm out of the faith. I learned this from my pastor. You become all things unto all men, not in foolishness. I don't mean that, my sisters, because we all need spiritual growth. Help me make this point, Sister Jennifer, or multiple points.
Well, Sister Ashley, when you're dealing with your sisters, you know, when you get to know them that labor among you, you understand that you deal with each one different. You know, one sister may be able to handle a stronger approach, and another sister may not be able to handle that. So you're going to have to learn how to approach her differently. So you can't just go up to her and approach her based on how you've lived your life, you know, however long you've been alive. If you've been alive for 40 years, you can't just say, well, this is the way I've dealt with everybody and it's worked for me. You can't do that. So you have to learn how to discern your sister. You have to learn how to understand her. You have to learn how to be loving towards her. And you have to be willing to give her what she needs, you know, to not feed your flesh or not feed her flesh either. So that is what true love is when you're learning how to love your sister and to give them exactly what they need, not just based on the way that you're used to walking, the way that you've lived your life. It's not about you. It's about how you can mature and build your character and represent the Most High Yah. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So it's up to each of us to be a friend right? It's up to each of us not to offend one another. It's up to each of us to guard our hearts from offense because it's going to come. And so the feeling that you have between one another is not wavering your determination to love her. That's really what happens, because there's no feeling that I'm going to feel that's going to keep me from what? Loving Yah and showing my love for you. You may not accept me, or something might have happened, or I'm not easily received simply because I have this show, right? So the devil's got his finger on me, and he's going to speak. I'm just using me for example, my sisters, but, you know, he's going to speak something in your mind. He's going to show you my faults or my hypocrisies or, you know, my weakness, for example. And so now you got a feeling. So now you have a feeling attached to our conversation. You got a feeling that's hindering your love or acceptance of what I might say, or it's really starting to chart your course, you know, keep you away, withdraw, isolate, make you really start to accuse, etc. And that is Satan's intention. But if you have the feeling, you notice the feeling, and to hell with the feeling, then it's not going to waver your love and your determination. So that's the other hypothetical situation. You have the feeling, but you don't go the way that the feeling leads you. You don't separate yourself in an unhealthy way just so that you can accuse even more, because that happens. But this is a perfect point, too. When you're going up the ladder of Yah, to man, Jesus, or Yah, there is a perfect approach for that. But if you notice, there's no limit sister to sister, right? We're all on the plateau together, or the platform together. I'm not, what I mean is, I don't have to ask your permission. I don't have to obey you. You're not in the way between me and Jesus until what? Until there's an offense. And so when you go up this ladder and you start to understand that, oh, when I'm dealing with a married woman, I'm now dealing with her and her soul tied to her husband. Now we're talking about we're going up the ladder again. This is now we're not in equal playing ground. I have to respect her because of who she belongs to and who she's the possession of. Whether you agree or not, that's the respect that we need for one another. That you would not, even in your own haughtiness or arrogance, go against him or tear him down, which is easy to do. It's easy to blame the man for how a woman is, when in actuality we deceive our husbands every day. And they don't know how we are and who we are. So it's just a respect level that we have to have. And I hope that makes sense. But if you have offended many times, then close that trap. You know, don't fall in that trap anymore. But don't allow accusations or feelings or anything to dictate that relationship either. Because you're simply just knowing her. You know, knowing her. Give you an example. If Grandma Barb walks in the dining hall and I'm goofing off with Tammy and Selena, for example, I might stop. Right? I might stop. We have an aged woman that's not about the foolishness, and she's not going to chime in, you know. So you know your environment. You know those who labor amongst you. You know who to say things to and not to. You know, if I can say fooling around and still be righteous, you know who's going to laugh with you. You know who's going to be there for you. You don't want the relationships where you know somebody's going to feed into your wickedness. You definitely don't. You want to pay attention to your footwork if a sister is taking you away from the Father. That happens too. It should be, we should all be drawing one another closer to our husbands and to the Father. Jennifer?
Right. Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You have to have an understanding of who you are drawing. If you find yourself continually surrounded by women who just want to discuss things that are carnal, if you notice that your conversations are always turning into carnal conversations, or if, you know, you spending time with sisters is reminding you of when you were in the world constantly and continually, if you walk away always grieved, you know, you're heavy, you don't have life in you when you're leaving these conversations, then you need to consider who you are drawing and what it is that is in you that is continually drawing these people. But if you're continually around people who are going to edify you, who are going to strengthen you, and you're able to edify them. You're able to strengthen them as well. You know, you're able to grow together. You're able to mature together. Then that is a good sign. So there's a time and place for everything. I'm not saying that, you know, you're always going to have this seriousness about you, because you are. You're going to be serious about the kingdom. But there's still times when you can have fun in righteousness and holiness. So you just have to know when the time is and what the place is for whatever behavior you're displaying. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So open the phone calls or the phone line up at this time if you want to call in. If not, we'll probably wrap it up from this point. I have just a few more statements. But your guest call in for tonight is 310-982-4226 if you would like to ask a question, anything pertaining to the topic. But hopefully we answered, you know, the man being between you. You could talk about it in so many different ways, my sisters, because actually living it is it's just powerful. And so, for example, with prayer or fasting, et cetera, your husband might not mind you embarking or engaging on those things, but because we refrain from one another sexually during fast, that's one reason a lot of women should ask, can I fast? Because if he doesn't want to be without you, then he's going to direct you differently. Or if, you know, you don't have to ask him, can I pray? But what about, can I pray for a certain thing? That's where you start getting into vows, right? So, of course, you can pray on your own. You can still have a great depth or a deep connection with the Father, regardless of the of your husband, or his strength or his weaknesses or his battles, et cetera. You can still have a great connection with the Father. So him being a mediator between you and the Messiah doesn't mean that it hinders your growth or that your prayers won't be heard. It just means that you have to obey your, if I can use this, your orbit, going back to the moon and the sun and the stars, your limitations, your boundaries, your portal, everything that you were given to do as a created helpmeet. You have to stay within those bounds in order for Yah to hear you. And if you get outside of that, that's where you have this mediator problem. Like, I can't hear you, the Father's saying, because you're trying to overstep him. You're not listening to him or assimilating to him. Whatever condition of your mind that's giving you a great gap and separation between you and your husband, it's, I can't go past it. You got to get this right. That is not to keep you from hitting your knees. That's not to keep you from really crying out, you know. Even the more so, as Jennifer said, we were instructed to really pray for our husbands until our knees were tree bark. That was the comment. So you need to pray even for your own self to get this relationship right. If he never changes, you can. And that's what's so powerful about the blood and the forgiveness of the Messiah. That you can change in such a mighty way that everything that has you in a tizzy right now, everything that pisses you off, angers you, makes you bitter, et cetera, can actually be a complete eradication in your mind, or like erased from your mind. Like, you don't even remember who that person is, and that person's still the same. You know, your husband's passivity might still be the same, or the thing that just bothers you might still be the same, but it's no longer an issue because you're upright. Okay, so I hope that helps. We're going to Georgia. Got a phone call, 706. Hallelujah.
Shalom, sisters.
Bless you.
This is Sister Natasha. Bless you, sisters. This is Sister Natasha calling out of Augusta, Georgia. I attend Straightway Jacksonville. And I just wanted to witness and let y'all know that I have received so much confirmation from the message tonight. I have like 3 points, and I'm going to try to run through them real fast because I know there's others in the queue. One I want to hit is that I've been struggling, and there is shame with this, you know, because, you know, in order for us to straighten ourselves out, we have to feel some type of regret, some type of remorse about it. But and I'm hoping this frees others. but feeling like I deserve more because of the positions and the things and the titles and all the accomplishments that I gathered in this world. And I want to let y'all know that in the middle of this week, it was like the Holy Spirit just like laid on me that, you know, you're nothing without Father Yah. So all that stuff you did and you accomplished back then and did so-called on your own, that is nothing. So stop trying to put yourself up like you should deserve more, like you got to walk this out, like this is a fight. And the second thing was that y'all hammered on tonight was about praying for your husbands, praying for your masters, because I found myself at times saying that, well, if it messes, if it, whatever the decision that he makes, if it messes up, well, it's on him. And, you know, and I'm kind of like, in my mind, I'm kind of like crossing my legs and filing my nails on some, you know, I could have told you better, you know, as if I was Father Yah. So there's a lot of checking I got to do on myself. And I really appreciate y'all sisters for bringing this up. And the third thing is about talking to my sisters, because I've been, you know, what I would do is if I get offended, what I would do is become a hermit, where I would just shut completely down and I would get into that selfish mode to where it's like, okay, you know, I can do this by myself anyway, you know. And it's like, no, not in this walk out there in Babylon, you know, out in this world. Yeah. Okay, go ahead and try it. But it's almost like Father Yah said, yeah, you see, you tried all that, but you're still knocking on my door. You still falling on your knees crying to me. So you are nothing without me. And so, you know, I just had to lay that out. I hope that what I'm saying is resonates with you, Sister Ashley and Mama Jennifer, and the other sisters listening. And I just wanted to sign off with that. Shalom and many blessings upon you and your master's household.
Thank you so much for listening and calling in and for your humility to be able to speak so freely. Throw yourself out there to help and edify anyone listening, because all things are common. It's a fight and a struggle, my sister. Never crawl into your shell and get too far away from your sisterhood. You hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for listening. It's an honor. Shalom. Awesome. So let me read this comment. I don't got another caller. So we'll wrap it up. It says, Shalom, this is my first time listening. This is in our chat room tonight. This is my first time listening. Hold on. Yo, I've learned so much. Why is that, Sister Chef? Why does this keep popping up? I mean, how do I move it is what I'm trying to say. Hold on. Come to me. I wanna scoot this. Y'all pause for a minute. Oh, we got a Mary. She's from Maryland. How do I scoot this? I X, but each time, okay, it's hindering my reading. There we go. Thank you so much. Shalom, this is my first time listening, and I've just learned so much and feel so blessed to just be able to hear this. Really looking forward to the next sister to sister. I heard you mention being able to talk to different sisters and getting that fellowship, and I wanted to know how I could become a part of that. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Hallelujah, stay-at-home mom. And she says, I'm really trying to transition from speaking to my worldly family and friends to really speaking to sisters in the faith. Awesome that you even chose the word transitioning, because that's what it is. And you can now start to, how would you say, allow Yah to remold those relationships and do it in wisdom, because some of them you might separate completely from, and then some of them you might have a very mature relationship with, but different because of what you stand for now. So it'll be shorter phone conversations, of course, and less calls. But yes, you're in Maryland. Awesome. So call that dining hall, call the number behind us, and I'll probably put you in touch with Sister Jennifer or even Sister Hadassah, who takes some of our calls and gets them to where they need to be. But we will get you some fellowship or a righteous sister. What else? Hallelujah. So if we are, let's wrap it up, Jennifer. If we are the clay, and He is the potter, and we're on the wheel, and we're saying, mold me. There's no way that we're going to be molded without hurt, change, great transformation, great. I mean, you're literally, especially doing a 180. Like, I'm not turning a full circle and walking the same direction. I'm going an opposite direction. I'm so wrong. And everything I do, everything I say, that's the humility you have. Like she said, she crossed her legs and filed her nails. And she recognized that about her, herself, you know. I could have told you different. Hey, there might be a time, you know, Cora Davis and Abiram was thrown into the earth. The earth did a new thing, opened up and swallowed them. And you know who went with them? All their women and their children, all their belongings and all their goods. So there might be a time where you might have to speak up. You know? You might have to say something. Don't cross your legs and file your nails and then the earth opens up and swallows you too, just for example. But for the most part, nah, it's going to be more of a rarity that you would have to, you know, have that dialogue with your spouse. You're just going to show extreme support. Extreme support. And, you know, as I was sharing with a sister today, our men might fight pride or passivity or Ahab or whatever nature that they're fighting, and women are fighting control and inferiority, et cetera. What's the difference? It's all a fight. It's all a fight. It's all a battle. So you have to just really be wise on building that relationship, doing it right, getting your place in his heart again. And that's what a lot of women really want. Don't know how to do it or how to get there, but you want that place back that you once had. You want him to trust you and really honestly say, I love you, and endure one another. So, glory, hallelujah. That's the marriages this ministry is building, thanks to our shepherd and to the righteous relationships of those that lead us. We're done. Show's over. Jennifer, end the show.
Sister Ashley, I just wanted to end by saying, you know, when the Father is changing you and he's transforming you and really moving you closer to him, there's a pain that he will allow you to experience so that you don't go back to your own ways. You know, there's pain that you're going to remember when you think about your old ways, and there's a hatred that you're going to have for the old ways that you've operated in. And this is not so that you'll walk around in a condemned state. This is so that your heart will be convicted and that you'll never, ever have a desire to return back to that old way again. And you can just continue to walk in a perfect way. And just like his word tells us to be perfect because he is perfect and we should model him. Shalom.
And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.